to today's agenda and review them. Go ahead.
I'd like to propose that we approve the minutes of the August 5th meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Agenda item 2, modifications to the agenda. I think we're good to go and in order for our guest speakers, so I don't think we have any unless someone says otherwise. Agenda item 3, for possible action, any absence of our council here today? Nope, but we do have 2 vacancies, so keep that in mind. Moving on, any public comments on that? Okay, agenda item 3B. Here we go. Presentation by Dale Carlton on the city's public urban tree inventory. Dale, I'll read a little introduction here that we've got on our agenda for everyone. Dale was selected to perform a complete inventory of city-owned trees, including trees along streets, parks, and on city-owned landscape area trees. This project is funded in part by an urban community forest grant through the Nevada Division of Forestry. The board, that's it. Okay. Dale, it's all you.
Thank you very much. We've always had tree inventories in the past, but iTree is a little bit something different. What iTree did with the USDA, Davy Tree, the ISA, and the Society of Municipal Arborists is they actually were able to compile data that put a monetary value on the forest. The program was designed primarily to help municipalities come into their boards or their councils and say, trees are worth money too. We would come into a council meeting and police and fire would have all of these wonderful statistics about insurance premiums and stuff like that, and they would make their presentation and they would get their money, and then we would go up and make our presentation about how warm and fuzzy trees are, and they would give us a little pat on the head and tell us come back next year when you've got some real facts and figures. Well, now we have them, and basically what what makes it different is that it pulls out carbon sequestration, oxygen output, aesthetic values, stormwater sequestration. It will pull out replacement values for your forest. You'll see in a bit how much your forest is actually worth. And it also gives us a great tool with which to manage the forest as well. It gives us the ability to prioritize work, identify the work that needs to be done. One of the things that becomes very useful in municipalities is as we're doing the inventory, we're identifying sidewalks that have been heaved by trees, and we are disseminating those by severity of the heave, so we have different classifications, so that gives us the ability to actually find those trees, break them down, and come up with what needs to be done with them. So that's a little history on iTree. Basically, when we started job, we asked the city some specific questions. We asked Roger about how much money he has, and he says, not a hell of a lot, but here you go. And we plug these in, and later on you'll see in the reports that it will give us some facts and figures as to how much we're spending per capita. So we plug those in there. We come in here and we come in with your annual costs, and there's a lot more detail that we'll be able to come up with later on down the road as we're developing this, but right now we just came up with $95,000 a year for planting and $95,000 for pruning, basically the entire budget. So that gives us our starting point. Then we come in here and do all of our data fields, and these are all of the, as we're walking along, these are all of the fields that we collect data for. The land use, the single family, multifamily, commercial, small commercial, or a park. This has bearing on the environmental benefits of the tree. In other words, if it's a large sycamore tree and it's shading a building, it's going to have a hell of a lot more environmental impact as if it was sitting out in the middle of a park. So we gather this as we're walking along. The maintenance, these are the maintenance tasks and the priorities. So this gives us the ability to prioritize and spell out what needs to be done to each and every tree. You'll notice down here, critical concern, public safety. And we can actually pull those up in a spreadsheet file and make those our priorities as we're doing our work. Conflicts, sidewalk heave, as I mentioned before, and wires. Well, why are wires important? Well, we've all seen the kind of work that our local utilities do on our trees. What if we had the ability to come in with our arborists and have those trees pruned before the utility got the chance to butcher them? So that gives us the opportunity to do that. Other one and other two I use in my private jobs, but in other three, what we did for you was identify the irrigation. How is the tree irrigated? And we have a lot of trees that will fall in this number three category that when they were originally installed had two little one-gallon emitters on the trunk of the tree, and now it's 15 years down the road and it's time for a drip upgrade. We captured that as we were doing the inventory, so now we can develop a list of all the trees that need to have the drip upgraded to. So that in combination with the maps really gives the folks the ability to go out and do the work. So what does it all look like? It looks like this. We have 5,694 trees that we gathered here. I'll go down and show you what. We're going to pull out a critical concern tree that I found today. So what we can do is we can go to each individual tree and pull it up. This one is in Treadway Park. It's a cottonwood tree. It's 42 inches in diameter, but I have it note down in the comments, I have a 4-foot dead branch hanging over the building. That's just over here. So the management says critical concern, public safety, crown cleaning. It's also jacking the sidewalk by it. But it's irrigated in turf, so that's good. So we can come from there, and we can come over to our map. And there's the tree right there on the map. It's located right next to the building. So we can actually, and this isn't your final map. This is called CartoDB. This is where we put it into here. We make sure all the points are right. We adjust them, and then my cartographer will make a final map. We're working on that right now. Should be done either tonight or tomorrow night. I thought it was going to be done last night, but they worked late, so we're still in Carto. But you can see how the map and the iTree files all work together. Then we took it another step farther, and we put it into a spreadsheet file. Has anybody worked with spreadsheets before? Spreadsheet really gives us the ability to filter this information. So, for example, in under maintenance task, we want to find out all of the trees that, well, let's do this. Let's go find all the critical concern trees. So we can literally just turn off all of those filters except for critical concern, hit it, and all of our critical concern trees are right there. There are that many.
A bunch.
There's a bunch of them. And also what we do is it has the address and what needs to be done to it. For example, extensive decay, crown dead, top photo, replaced with hawthorn. We put comments in here for recommendations for what they can do to fix it. Hollow trunk, this one's at the governor's mansion. So we have the comments over there. We can also filter by the just about anything that you can possibly think of. If it's at the top of this database, we can filter for it. So we can go back and turn all those on again. Go back to normal. Say we wanted to do concrete. We could pull out all the concrete. I can't remember where that is. Anyway, we can get all the concrete out of there too. Wanted to show you this too. Another thing that we did is we decided to do available planting sites. This is another thing we did for Reno. So we went in and identified all the spots where new trees could be planted, and this criteria was pretty tough because basically unless there was actually grass growing in the strip, we would not ask to replace the tree because we don't. If we don't have irrigation there, there's no sense in planting a new tree. And we come up here to 1081. And we call that available planting site. So here's 326 West 9th Street. We recommended a large tree, and it is irrigated in turf. So, and those are all identified as AVPs. So we could come into the species code and just say, give me all of the AVPs, and that would pull up all of the trees that we want to have replanted.
Can I ask you a question on that thing? Specifically the where a tree could be planted, this spreadsheet here. So when you were out identifying trees, you identified a space where a tree could go.
Yep.
That one we just saw. Isn't that
So, Roger was just asking me, so how did you figure out where we could plant new trees?
Thank you.
And the criteria was, unless there was grass growing there in that strip, sometimes there would be drip irrigation maybe hanging there and stuff, but look, it's a rental. We don't know for sure whether or not they're going to repair the drip system and have it working or not. So all of the AVPs are going to be places where there is existing irrigation watering turf. Otherwise, we would not ask you to put a tree there because we can't guarantee that the adjacent homeowner is going to water that tree, unfortunately.
I got a question too. You just said rental. Are you talking about private property?
Right, but remember that the tree, our tree that's sitting in our parkway strip, uh-huh, is reliant upon that adjacent homeowner to water it.
Okay, so the tree will be on public property, but the
depends on the property owner to water it. Unfortunately, we don't have city-owned water irrigation systems, mm-hmm, in those parkway strips. We are reliant upon the adjacent homeowner to provide irrigation to that site.
Thank you.
And like I say, without seeing actual growing grass in there, mm-hmm, we did not recommend replacement.
Thank you.
Please, shoot, that's pretty much all of it.
I got to tell you, this is pretty exciting news. If you all don't agree with me, you could say so. But this is pretty amazing. Thank you so much for showing this to us. Jens, do you have a question?
I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
I saw you have the available for planting spots in the same list. So that's a total of trees. What was the number?
5,674.
Does that include available planting site?
Or it does. It does.
Okay. So
that does include?
Yes, so because that would count as a species.
Okay.
If you remember, he has it listed under his species column. Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to know how many trees we actually have, you got to take those out.
Right. But there's actually not that many, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that number, Dale?
Sure do. We can say... Oh, right, okay. What we can do is just come in here and pull out all of the everything but the removals.
Okay.
Like this. There's all the removals. Now, these are in parks and on the golf courses, so those are easy replacements. But now we have these down here, and you can see, for example, on West 3rd, there's one at West 3rd. It's irrigated in turf, 311 West 3rd, extensive decay in crown. This one on West 4th, replaced with an aristocrat pear. These are stumps here, so the guys know just that they're going to go grind the stumps on them. But those are all their removals. And if it calls for a replacement, the replacement will be over here in the comments. Sometimes we say do not replace. This one on Kings Canyon, it's too close to another tree. Don't replace it. We don't automatically replace. Sometimes the place is overplanted. Also wanted to show you, I forgot the best part of iTree, actually. I wanted to show you all of the stuff that it pulls out. These are the reports that we generate. So here's your annual benefits. It takes stormwater, energy, air quality, carbon dioxide, aesthetic values, adds those all up, gives us a total. And Carson City gets $254,801 in environmental benefits per year.
I have a quick question on that. How do you prepare that algorithm? I imagine this is going into some type of algorithm.
A lot of boots on the ground, a lot of people doing surveys. They broke the country into different sections so that it would work properly. That was the bulk of the work that went into this, was gathering all this information. But I will tell you that it's FDA, so it's accepted industry-wide as being truthful with regard to these numbers. So there's the environmental benefits, the total environmental benefits of all the trees. Then we come in and we do the replacement value. And this would be if every tree in Carson City got mowed over tomorrow by the mad tree mower, you would have $29,820,340 worth of trees. And this is based on some standards that we have for assessing the value of trees. In other words, I can go buy this tree at the nursery, but I can't buy this one. So there's a mathematical code that goes in extrapolating from this tree to that tree. Right, and where it's at, the whole nine yards. And so that goes into this computation. Well, obviously, once we put it in the computer, it just pulls it up right away. There's some other analytical tools that are good for you as well. Population summary. This will break down the size and shape of all the size and species of all the trees that you have. And this is a pretty extensive report here with all of the different species that we have, their size, myriads of reports in here. Age distribution, this is an interesting one for here because we have a lot of really, really old trees, obviously, in Carson. So you can see that these spikes are very high on this side. And so we go down here, and here's all of our different varieties, and here's how big they are. So we can see that we have a lot of old big trees and not a lot of young. So we need to start working on adding more little trees and sustaining this forest. You know, instead of having a whole bunch of big trees, we need to start bringing in some little trees and so that there's this perpetual cycle. One of the other good ones, too, is once we get the information from Roger, we can do a benefit cost analysis. And this just basically tells you what the bang for your buck is. So we take the net annual benefits, and this is a really important one too. So your total benefits, as I said, you get $254,801. That's $45.48 per tree. That's $4.67 per person that lives in Carson City. You spend you spend $190,000. That's $33.348. So you're making $11.57 per tree and $1.19 per tree per capita. So what does this tell us? This tells us that we can earmark some more money to take care of trees and still be within the difference between 348 and 467 is 119. We would like to see these two numbers match. We would like to see you putting into your forest what you're getting out of it. And this type of information could perhaps help you to achieve that.
Dale, I have just one final question, and I'm just going to ask it maybe for the explanation for everyone else too to understand. If we remove trees and when we plant trees, this program is accessible by the Parks Department.
Right. They have all this information, and they can change it and make it grow. As time goes on, it's going to be a moving, growing thing instead of just a one-time static deal. As of right now, we're going to be just changing the information in the actual files themselves. But here shortly, my company is developing a database in the cloud, if you will, in which folks will have access to the files via the internet and be able to make the changes on a daily basis, and we will, within the server, update it every night. So we have it secured. In other words, if we have these files in Roger's office, God forbid somebody comes in and makes some changes and messes something up. Well, we've got master copies all over the place, but that's hard for him. If we're working up in a server where people can only put things in, they can't change them, then his guys can come in each night, go to our web-based server, put in what they did last night, and it will get updated, but nothing will get messed up. So that's where we're headed, and it's going to be something we'll be able to offer you shortly. Go ahead.
You brought up a really good question or comment, Gianna. Don't take this the wrong way, but the survey's already old. I mean, the inventory's already old. Since he did the survey, we've already, Public Works planted about 17 trees along Buddeye Way. And so the key is to an inventory is you have to keep it current. Otherwise, it becomes obsolete and old news. And so that is exactly what Dale is saying is exactly correct. When there's removals made or new trees planted or work done on those trees, we need to keep that inventory current. Now, this inventory is really under the custody of two departments, Parks and Recreation, but probably more importantly, Public Works. And our Public Works people are back here. Curtis Horton is back there in the black shirt. They're the ones that really do the bulk of tree maintenance work in our city. They have the tree crew. They do the tree trimming. They do the removals, large-scale removals, pruning for clearance and corrective pruning, that type of work in the city, and also for a large part in the parks too. They also do work for us in our parks. So they're going to be custodians of this inventory as well as we will be. And you can imagine next year when we start working on the Carson Street project, the remodeling of Carson Street, some of those trees are going to be taken out. We hope that we can transplant some of them. There might be 10 to a dozen trees we might be able to transplant. But then we're going to be coming back in and planting a whole heck of a lot of other trees downtown. We'll be putting more trees in than we're going to be taking out. So we're going to have to stay on top of this as far as an inventory.
Go ahead, Terry.
When the freeway is finally finished between Fairview and Highway 50, tree planting going to be involved in that too, right?
That's correct. You'll notice that on the northern, the first phase of the freeway, all those entry areas into the freeway,
right?
You know, the access points and the egress and ingress areas have all been landscaped, and that's going to continue down there too. Now, we're not going to have as many of those areas on the south leg until we get really down to 395 Carson Street. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of landscaping, including the planting of trees there too.
So I understand from here on, we will be able to continuously update the inventory and keep it current. That's what you were saying.
That is the plan, yes.
Okay.
Dale, you mentioned earlier that wouldn't it be nice if we could get to the trees before the utility companies? And I just want to let you know I can almost guarantee you the George Washington Ferris Award next year at our Arbor Day celebration if we can make that happen.
It's not their fault. They're doing the best they can.
We understand that, yes. We want to help them to help us.
We sure hate to see it.
Thanks, Dale, for that. Unless the council has any other questions, I want to open it up to public comments or questions.
Hey, everybody. David Howlett, Nevada Division of Forestry. I run the Urban and Community Forestry Program. Thanks, Dale, for an awesome report. The only question or concern I might have is what we've seen here, it seems, is kind of like the back end stuff that you do in your office. And to be able to communicate this to people who actually pull the purse strings, I would encourage Dale and the council to work together to put a final report together. How many trees are there in Carson City? I didn't catch that.
5,647.
Okay, and in species diversity, how many did you have? Yeah, I'm saying it's all an iTree, but, you know, there's only a few people in the state that can manipulate or something like that. And I'm one of them, and you're one of them, and Rod's one of them. But, just to have, a very basic picture, I speak to city councils all the time about specifically this data, and, you know, they like to see colorful pictures. And you've shown some really cool data that I love to play with personally. But that's not really, you know, some people, honestly, the politicians kind of like, what are you talking about if they see numbers and Excel spreadsheets and stuff like that. And so I would just encourage you to, you know, work on the communication in terms of a final report that would go to people who really do actually hold the purse strings. I want to talk about the difference between iTree and management tools. iTree is not a management tool. It is a snapshot of benefits, what you have, look what I've got, you know, and being able to discuss that with people like you, elected officials. Look, we've got $29 million in resources. There's probably not too many buildings or resources that the city owns that are worth $29 million. When I told Winnemucca they had $2.5 million worth of trees, the city council literally their mouths dropped. They couldn't believe that they have this resource. That final number, which is so incredibly important, the replacement value, that is driving change all over the state. That's actually one of the success stories that I've submitted to my funders at the Forest Service, that the Clark County owns $76 million worth of trees. The owner or one of the managers there constantly repeats that number and saying, this is a huge resource. And who do we have working on it? They hired a new person because of that, you know, directly because of this inventory. What they found in Reno, what Dale found in Reno, is driving, you know, vast changes among the city council. They lost 6,000 trees over the last few years. They found out because of the inventory Dale did. It's through these inventories that real change is being driven, and it's really your opportunity to take that message in and then take it to the elected officials, take it to the mayor. Exactly. Take that, you know, pie chart and explain it. You know, that stuff really needs the communication aspect. I would encourage you to move with. Now, like I said, iTree is more like a snapshot and a communication tool. But for on the ground people like Roger and Public Works, you know, they need a management tool. And what I think Dale was referring to is a management tool. There's many different companies out there that have them. There's actually a request for proposals out right now that I put out in April. I got a competitive grant about a year and a half ago to pay for some of these tools for 3 years. And that's just 3 years. You get 3 years worth of software, you run with it, but then at some point, you know, you guys, the city, needs to take that up. And when you have a number like $29 million, that enables you to spend $3,000 or $4,000 a year on a simple software tool, or less or more, I don't know exactly, to help you manage that resource. So you have, you know, a really nice car, you got a Mercedes, you're going to take it in and get it fixed, right? You're not going to just let it go until it runs out. You're going to put gas in it. You're going to change the oil. You're going to do those things that you need to maintain that resource. So I'd encourage you to communicate what Dale has brought to you. You know, he's going to give you, a very nice final report that looks fancy. But that information needs to be communicated up the chain to people who pull the purse strings. So thank you.
Thank you.
You had a question?
Not a question. It's just one thing I want to add to this. When we get the reports, I think we should make an effort to get that published, newspaper or other media, so the people of Carson City know what...
Public meeting?
If you would like to, yes. So we can convey that to the people of Carson City, what we did, what has been done here, and what value their trees are. It's no use that if just we know it and you know it, everybody in this town should be aware of it, what value we have here.
You can actually go to my website.
I'll walk you through it. It's... Right, yeah. You can go to my website. You can pull up associations. You can go to City of Carson. And all of the files are right there. So we can encourage folks from the public to go to the website and actually check out. All of the files that you saw are posted up there so that they can see them. We'll have the maps in there shortly as well.
Thank you. Gary?
What's the URL?
www.dalecarlinconsulting.com.
C-A-R-L-I-N?
O-N, please. And you can see all the other projects we've done. What you guys will, what your maps will look like eventually, because it's such a big map, it'll be what's known as a KMZ file. So you will actually use Google Earth, and it's kind of fun. You get to go flying. I swear, if I ever fall from space, I'll know how to get home. And it will just fly you right. This is Wingfield Springs. We just finished it, but it'll fly you right down. And Carson City will show up the same way.
Okay. Yeah, I have. Thank you for compiling this report.
My pleasure. And I wanted to say too that it was a real honor to be the first. I was born and raised in Reno. I'm a Nevada boy. So it was really neat to get up one morning and be standing in front of Orion Clemens' house shooting his trees. You know, it was a real honor to be the first one to do a really nice inventory for Carson. So I appreciate the opportunity, and I will tell you that both the Parks Department and the Public Works Department have received this very, very well. They're very enthusiastic about it. I know that they're going to use the tool, and it's going to give me a hell of a lot of pride to see them work with this every day and be comfortable with it. And that is my end goal, is that, you know, it's wonderful for us to go out and shoot this and all this and that, but my company is really about making a difference in how trees are taken care of. And it doesn't do me any good to go out and shoot this and compile all this stuff and do all this and never see it come to fruition. So to know that Roger and the Public Works folks are going to be actually out using this tool makes me very proud. So I'm going to make sure that it's very easy for them to do so.
Quick question. So it looks like a fairly detailed report. Does it even break down into areas of different species of trees that are problematic in the area that are dying off? So if you,
there's a file within there that shows condition, and you can bring up the condition. You know, give me all the, once we get something in spreadsheet, as you know, we can say, give me all the trees that are in poor condition. And all the trees that are in poor condition are going to come up, and you're going to be able to see, doggone, they're all Siberian elms, or they're all cottonwoods. Lo and behold, you know. But this gives you a roadmap of which cottonwoods need to come out, which ones need to be replaced, where to spend your money. For example, Public Works gets a community block development grant, and they say, we're going to go down Fifth Street. Roger can come into the spreadsheet file, say, give me all the trees on Fifth Street. there's all the trees on Fifth Street. Now he can go over to the sidewalk file and say, give me all the trees that are lifting the sidewalk on Fifth Street more than an inch and a half. Boom. He'll have all of that in front of him. Instead of saying, hey, Joe, go over to Fifth Street and walk up and down Fifth Street for half a day and figure out which are the worst sidewalks. This is all about trying to give you guys the opportunity with less folks. That's a reality. We have less folks and more trees. How do we do it better? We utilize technology. We're working right now, my company, on coming up with, as I told you about the database, the next phase beyond that is an app for a phone where you will walk up to the tree, you will go into the app. The app will tell you what tree you're standing in front of, what needs to be done to it. You will accomplish the work, the date, the person that did it, and up into the cloud it goes. It's being developed by a gentleman who wrote all the software for hospitals. Rohit is from India. And I sat down and explained to Rohit what I wanted to do. He says, very simple, Mr. Dale. We will simply take the human being out and put a tree in. It's very simple. And that's basically what we're going to do. Imagine when you go to the hospital room and there's a terminal in each room and the nurse takes all of your vitals and she types them all in and she sends them up to where the doctor or the hospital administrator or whoever can access it and work with it. We're going to simply do the same thing with all of the trees. So his folks will actually be able to walk out there and do their work right on the spot and know exactly what's going on.
What are you going to do with all your free time? We'll have an app. You wanted to come up? Sure.
Yeah.
More public comment? Come on down.
Okay, Rod Hollenbeek, tree geek, and with a mountain of ignorance about trees, chipping at it with a rock hammer. And I would like to thank you, Dale, for loaning me your rock hammer to use on the other hand. I'm fairly familiar with iTree, but you always learn something on a presentation like this. So I've learned some things about iTree tonight, so I thank you for that. And, you know, looking forward to looking at the reports and all that. And it's on your website, so.
Yep.
So anyway, that's all I got to say is that I'm very thankful that, you know, you guys did this. And I agree with everything he says. I mean, you said about the cloud. That's, you know, there's different ways of doing stuff, but, yeah.
Once you get this information in the digital form, there's so much you can do with it. It's just really, really neat.
Right, and I really chonged into the thing you said about we're doing more trees with fewer people.
Yes, yes.
It's total truth, and, you know, and the other thing you said was, and David says this a lot of times, is a snapshot. It's just what it was. It's already changed.
Right, right.
Okay, but at the same time, you got to start from somewhere, and you have to keep up with databases. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
You know, I have one quick question for Dale. Is iTree your own platform, or is this
no.
a platform?
Actually, was it 2006, 2005? When did we go to Salt Lake? Anyway, about 2005 is when it came out, and Rod and I were paid, Dave's predecessor, Susan Stead, saw this coming down the road, fortunately, and she sent us to go learn about it. And I was Urban Forester for Sparks at the time and was just blown away. Had no idea that this existed. So I came home fired up and got the first inventory I did was for the city of Sparks, actually. And then we've just finished Reno, and now we're doing more private companies and homeowners associations and stuff like that.
So this will always be a resource that city governments can access?
It's totally free, too, okay. By the way. All you do is... You have to log in and register, but there's no fee associated with downloading the iTree software. And obviously, the more they see it out there, I think the happier they are. Their goal, as I said, was to try to help cities like yourselves stand up and say, our trees are worth something too. And now we have the factual documentation to stand up and say, this is a real viable resource that we need to take care of and protect. And instead of everybody just saying, oh yeah, trees, warm and fuzzy, now we can say, no, look, it's real dollars and cents. It's important. And I think the environment is right these days for that type of talk with city council. So I hope you listen to Dave and give me the opportunity to get up in front of your city council and make my play and hopefully get us some money for urban forestry in Carson City.
They were actually invited for this presentation.
Well, then we will have to go to them.
They're all watching at home on their couch.
Then we'll go to them, and we'll prove to them.
Any other public comment?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it. With that fantastic closing, we're going to move on to our next agenda item.
Yep.
Everybody ready? Get out your pens and papers. And thanks for all everybody who was here. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about the Fall Tree Care Seminar, if any of the public works folks are going to go. It's moving on to possible action regarding the final planning of the Fall Tree Care Seminar. It's on Thursday, November the 12th. Hurry up and register. It'll be cheaper for you. We're going to talk about our final list of speakers, the schedule of sessions, the approval of the Save the Date flyer, which Jens has, and other quick discussions. We've been talking about it all year long. We still have some work to do once we approve these items here today, and then we still have some work to do after that, and then we'll see everyone on the 12th. I just want to mention we got the agenda today with an exhibit attached to it, agenda item 3C, exhibit B, and it has a wrong schedule. We approved in the minutes last meeting that it would go from 8 until 2:30. So this is wrong. So what we need to do is finalize Dale Carlin. Hi, speaking of speakers.
Yes.
Are you going to be giving a talk at this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We'll be talking about this very same.
Great. And topic. While he's here, I just want to address you for a few more minutes so you can get on out of here. Is there a time that works good for you? I think for some reason.
I'm available whenever you need me.
I have you on here at 9:15 a.m.
Perfect.
Good? Thursday the 12th. And if you're going to talk about the inventory, you can use the same slides. You'll have about 45 minutes.
Perfect.
And I think you can expand on it too, Carson City, you know.
Oh, certainly.
You can talk about, people probably would certainly want to hear about what you've done regionally. And
Genoa Lakes, Windhaven.
Yeah, that's all of our surrounding areas. So let's go ahead and put Dale on at the second. You're the second talker of the day. You could stay all day if you like. It'll be so exciting.
I'm tired of being.
We're going to talk about trees all day, Dale. But we are starting at 8, so you could feel free to, you know, come early or whatever. But you'll start at 9:15.
Perfect.
Okay, we're good there. Put that in the record tomorrow. All right, so what's next? Council, what do you got going on? Anyone? Dave? What time do you want? I got Rod for the first one after lunch. Rod, you're at 12:45.
Do we all, also have the DRI? I imagine they're going to be speaking. Are they?
Wait, who?
Desert Research Institute.
Oh, okay.
Chair? Jonna, because not everybody has what you're looking at.
Oh, okay.
Could you just kind of go down and give us the times of the speakers, and I'll write them down here, and everybody can maybe, that way we keep track of it.
Yeah, not the exhibit, which I don't like. So we're beginning at 8, according to the minutes we approved last time. So starting at 8, but then the first speaker at 8:15, okay, going till 9. Every speaker is 45 minutes. You were in charge of that, weren't you? Okay, sorry, moving on. So then 8:15 to 9, and then the next speaker would be 9:15 to 10. Just a break in between for the setup and things like that. Okay, then the next one would be 10:15 to 11. And then we were going to break and pass out the crossword puzzle, kind of wrap up, and essentially go to lunch until 12:30.
The challenge may be a visual challenge.
Sure, yeah. Just kind of, you know, after the 11 o'clock speaker, we had like a 11:15 to 11:30 little crossword thing and kind of wrap up, talk to those people, make suggestions where they can go to lunch, essentially break for lunch, come back 12:30. Then Rod would be up at 12:45. Oh, that doesn't make sense. It's only a half hour. So 12:30 to 1:15, Rod. Just start, wake them up when they get back from lunch. And then the last one would be, the last two I had it only a half hour. I don't know why, for some reason. So then 1:30 to 2:15, would be the last speaker. And that's it. We wrap up and everyone's out of here by 2:30.
So 2:30 is kind of closing.
Yes. And if you want the credits, you got to make sure you sign out, sign the ISU credit roster, the feedback that we give, and things like that. So I just got Dale, who left, Dale Carlin, to do 9:15 to 10 o'clock. About inventory. I've got Rod to wake him up after lunch at 12:30. And Rod, could you please tell us your topic? Because he would not tell me before the meeting. He insisted on making it a surprise.
Rod Holmby, surprising tree geek. Okay, so my topic is going to be, essentially, I believe that we talked last time that it's going to be, basically it's about drought. Okay, so I decided to, the title of the talk is going to be, which I came up with today, about noon, okay, it's going to be Planting Trees for Drought, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
All right,
good. So, and I would love that time because I love a challenge of waking people up.
Thanks, Rod. To review, the minutes from our last meeting says our topics were including permaculture, agroforestry, the tree inventory, care techniques, fruit trees, drought tolerant trees, mulch, and water management. Okay, Dave Hallett, kind sir, what time would you like and what's your topic?
Does not matter. Whatever you want me to talk about, I will research.
Are you going to be here all day? Do you want the morning? Do you want to, you know, me to separate you and Rod? I mean, what's going on?
Hey, whatever, morning's fine. I'm good in the morning.
8:15. Yeah, okay, wake us up at 8:15.
Is there a particular topic you'd like me to address or to do research on?
I did suggest
agroforestry, but, you know, that's fine. I can talk a little bit about that.
Yep, in fact, okay. I had it right here. Kind of permaculture and agroforestry, didn't they go hand in hand? I have them kind of together, or...
One is a subset of the other. I'm not sure which is which, but, you know, I come from more of the more traditional academic background of agroforestry. Permaculture is like very specific researchers that have taught very specific topics about that. That's not really what I do, but, you know, I can, you know, agroforestry is what I do.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are definitely some tie-ins to, you know, landscape stuff that I've been learning, but, you know.
Awesome. I did get a call. Did you want to volunteer Anna? She's not here.
Probably.
Do you guys remember Anna Higgins is the new
resource management officer for this region? Yeah.
Do you want her to hang out then, come in the morning and go after?
I can surely check with her, but, you know, just assign her something and, you know, I'm sure she can address it. But, you know, she does come from a more traditional fire background and forestry background. She's kind of new to urban forestry, so maybe a lighter topic. I don't know.
I could probably check with her and
she could definitely discuss maybe like defensible space or something related to that if that's of interest. You know, because of the drought, we have a lot of dry vegetation. We're going into winter potentially
water,
without
drought.
You know, snow on the ground. You could actually have fires. I don't know if that's something. You know, there is a tie-in actually. you know, together. If you have dry vegetation, you know, grass can actually carry a flame at this point, you know, and that's not good. Usually during the summer when it's hot, all the grass is green, but as it's browning out, you know, that's actually a potential fire hazard there. And fire season is not over. It's definitely not over.
You know, I might suggest that maybe we put Anna down for a time slot and pencil in defensible space might be a good one, since we're in the, you know, much of our city is in that interface, that rural and urban interface. Very timely topic with the drought.
Yeah.
And then maybe you could see if that works for her.
Yeah.
But maybe we just, you know, for this point,
put her in,
put her a time slot.
You have 10.
Let's do the 10:15. 10:15 to 11.
So, like, preparing your house for a wildfire during a drought, something like that. I don't know. Preparing your,
Sounds good to me.
Are all the speakers going off the PowerPoint?
Oh,
probably.
We have it.
Be my guess.
What's our topic? Defensible space.
Yes, in a drought. Mm-hmm.
And I do have my colleague at DRI. If you're interested, I could, you know, suggest a topic for him. He's a pretty smart guy. He could come up with, you know, whatever you want him to discuss.
I did get a message from Casey Schmidt.
Yeah, Casey Schmidt. Yeah, that's who I was.
So we played phone tag.
He's hard to get a hold of.
No, that's okay.
He's a busy man.
I just, you know, we were kind of wrapping up here. I know Tom Henderson left me a message. So we looks like we have one spot left. Right?
Well, I mean, Casey's an academic. You know, he's going to give that talk, you know.
So he would be the last one, the 1:30?
Yeah.
1:30.
But, you know, I would suggest, you know, Tom is, you know, a very practical arborist here in this town. So he has a different experience that's, I would say, a little bit more probably tied to the people. You know, I mean, Casey's a great speaker, and I don't want to bump him off, definitely.
Yeah, I got to talk to both of them. Yeah. I don't know if, you know, Tom is even in town at that time, so.
Could you really squeeze in another speaker? Because I think you have, if you had Anna Higgins come in at 10, speak at 10:15 to 11, and if Rod is going to be speaking at,
well, we have 12, the 15.
You could also do some speakers back to back, and you know, without these 15-minute breaks.
Because
you know, it's usually people have their PowerPoint, and they just slide
just
in,
ready to go,
and then do a break in between, maybe a couple speakers at a time.
Yeah,
kind of compress it just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And Gianna?
Yeah.
I decided maybe I should make my challenge a little shorter this year because some of the ones I did before for previous seminars were difficult and people didn't complain that it was taking too long, and maybe the visual one should take very short time.
Yeah, we can have, yeah, I agree, Terry, and that's fine.
If you wanted to squeeze Tom in before lunch, you know,
yeah,
right after Anna Higgins.
I think, and that's fine. I'll talk with Tom on that as well, and then I'll get Casey on there. And I know that, see, Jens is working on that Save the Date flyer, and I think he wanted some specifics, but we have to.
I need them.
Right, but it doesn't have to. On the Save the Date thing, we can just put the topics, and we'll have a variety of speakers, and, you know.
On the Save the Date, just
right.
the list of the okay. topics and maybe the speakers.
So just
so
maybe
what
the
I have
topics.
So far is Dave. What's your topic again?
Agroforestry.
Agroforestry.
Right.
Can you see that?
It's right here.
I mean, I'm going to talk about landscape and how it relates
right
to forests in the city.
Okay.
Basically, you're going to talk about like
Dave
multi-strata
Carlin.
Vegetation is better
mm-hmm.
than
Dave
one.
Carlin is on tree inventory.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And anything.
That's it.
Inventory reports or just inventory reports.
Okay.
That always sounds good. Anna Higgins, defensible space and drought.
Mm-hmm.
Red Hollenbeck, beak.
Planting
trees
for
drought.
The good, the bad.
And then from 1:30 to 2 for Tom Henderson.
Well,
what is
we don't doing? Know. That's the thing. I don't have Tom here, and I don't have Casey Schmidt's final. But it's in this general here, tree inventory, drought-tolerant trees, water management, agroforestry, just that kind of general topic is what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get in those other two speakers.
How soon can you get me that?
Well, tomorrow. But we have to approve the Save the Day. We just – let me get that. We'll finish up. You're good with your time and topic, and Anna.
And I'll let Anna know, like, around 10 o'clock, basically, to be there for a talk.
And we'll
on
talk again.
Drought and sensible space. Yeah, the final time would be good, but I'll definitely let her know today, tomorrow.
Thank you.
Here's maybe a suggestion for you. If you do what Dave said and kind of tighten up the time between the speakers, you could go 8:15 to 9.
Right.
You could go 9 to 9:45, 9:45 to 10:30, 10:30 to 11:15.
Right.
And then you could even go to noon to 12 with another speaker and then come back at 1:15 and have two more speakers after lunch.
Yeah, and I think just kind of narrowing down those details with the speakers, because we knew we'd see everybody here. The other two, I got to finalize. That's fine. I think working on that. I think we just need to approve.
We already have that approved.
Right.
The speakers in the topics.
Right.
So all we know it is for the flyer, I need who's going to.
I know, but I think what we were asking is, we don't have to put the speaker's specific name on the flyer. What if somebody gets sick and they cancel?
Okay, I just put the topics on there.
Yes.
And it will not be all the topics we have in here, so I'm going to stick with what I'm
sure
writing
and
down.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to call me one way or the other and let me know who. There's one or two more coming in. I have one, two, three,
yes,
four now.
Yes.
So there will be one or two more coming in.
Yes.
You give me that information as quick as possible. And
okay.
Then I finish up the flyer, and I hope I can do that on Friday morning.
Okay. We also need to hammer out the details of Continental Breakfast. Gary, wasn't that you? I forgot.
I think it was me. I have
breakfast.
Is that still on 7?
So, yeah.
7:30.
7:33.
Roy's always here early. Everyone's here setting up. So we could open the doors at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. What again is our budget? Or are we doing
just need to hammer that in.
Would that be complimentary?
Yes.
Okay. So we'd be open at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Open doors.
Continental.
And actually, I don't need the time for that one. Well, yeah, we need to let people
registration
know what
time begins 7:30 with Continental with a coffee and donuts. That's all we need.
Open doors.
I mean,
registration.
Coffee and pastries.
That simple.
Registration and.
So, what do we need for this action? I need some direction. Assignments for contacting speakers, so we're figuring that out. We got the schedule, approval of the mailing, other items that may come up, the food. So, as you see, we already set, and this is great, we already set, it's $45 if you register before November 2nd, and it's $55 after that. So, we want to encourage everybody to register ahead of time. You can register the day of. Roy will be happy to take your money. Terry, you'll be taking photos. It might be freezing. It might be warm that day. We all know Nevada weather.
Gianna, I wanted to clarify on something. It's on item C3, the approval of save the date mailing. Are we actually going to be, is it going to be in the newspaper, or are we planning on doing mailers?
We're planning on doing a combination of email blasts out to people who have attended before and looking at researching tree firms and nurseries, and we'll put an ad in the paper, and you know, we'll hit all those avenues for promoting it. So we'll do a combination of all that.
And in a couple different city government websites, open space.
Yeah, we can put it on. You know, we have the Carson City Parks and Recreation Department Facebook and website. It includes open space, and I'm sure we can get it on the city's website as well.
Okay, so I think we need a motion. We need an action. We need to wrap this agenda item up so that we can get moving on it. And
In
today's agenda item.
It's in item 3C.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the details are right there.
I know I read it. Mm-hmm. And this is what we still have to vote on, right?
No, this is already done.
When did we do that? I've been sitting in my...
In several meetings back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So all that, the times, the who, what, where, when of the save the date. And you brought us a rough draft last time. I think we approved it pending a couple changes. I think that's good to go, though. I think that was good last time. So we want to get that out right away. We only have a month and a couple days, minus Nevada Day holiday and things like that. Okay, any actions we need? Any motions? Could someone make a motion? Say again?
Just wanted to remind the council to definitely apply for the ISA credits. I'm not sure how long that takes.
Yes. Oh.
But once you get the speakers, the topics, I think, and actually my topic might need a better title to get past ISA.
That's fine.
Agroforestry, but there's something else I want to talk about. Okay. But, you know, just be sure to get that because that's one of the huge hooks for people to come.
We do offer ISU credits.
ISA.
Yeah, ISA, thanks. Yes. You have to stay for the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to make sure that's on there as well. We offer the certified arborist continuing education credits.
Okay. Well, for the motion, do you need all of the items listed?
I want to approve the save the date flyer to include all the items we discussed.
Okay.
What was the deal again? That is included in
the... Yes, it's included, and you can receive the ISA continuing education credits. That's always been a standard.
ISA
CE credits.
Should we recap everybody's responsibilities so everybody is aware of it?
Get the donuts and the coffee and the patient, Gary.
Okay.
Yes.
Roy usually handles registration.
Roy's handling registration. Terry's bringing in our challenge game and
photos.
Photo ops. And Jens is going to get the save the date flyer out there for us.
And the the brochure, too?
I think it could, well.
Are we ready for a motion?
I think Terry's going to.
The motion?
I will
break
try.
It up in four
I will
different,
try.
Break it up into four different so it doesn't sound too odd.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the save the date flyer for the November 12th, 2015 Carson City Shade Tree Care Seminar, which will include the schedule, open for continental breakfast 7:30, speakers for 45 minutes each, Dave Howlett, Agroforestry, Dale Carlton, Dale Carlin, the inventory, Anna Higgins, preparing your home for drought, the quiz at 11:30, Rod, planting trees for drought, the good, the bad, and the ugly, at 12:30 to 1:15, 1:30 to 2:15, Casey Schmidt or Tom Henderson.
I second that motion.
You know what? I think it's a little bit different than that. If I can, I was taking some notes, and I'll just offer this. Let me know if I'm wrong. I backed up the hours. We don't need to really have the times that specific right now. But I had 8:50. I had the continental breakfast registration 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
The session begins at 8:15 to 9 with Dave Howlett. 9 to 9:45 with Dale Carlin.
Oh, 9:45. Okay.
9:45 to 10:30 with Anna Higgins. 10:30 to 11:15, Tom Henderson. And then we could do the handout, the game, the quiz. And then you'd go to lunch, and then you could be back at 1:00 to 1:45 with Rod, and 1:45 to 2:30 with Gary Schmidt, DRI.
Casey.
Or Casey, yes, that's what I meant, Casey Schmidt.
We use that as the approved. I second that.
And after this meeting, you and I can go over it and look at it.
Well, I'll probably just do that on email. I want to talk to Tom and then Casey.
Okay.
And just take this. Okay, so Terry, what he said, and then...
So moved.
Yes.
Including the comments by Roger on the hours, on the time for the speakers, including the times Roger gave.
Thank you. Do we need a second?
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's wait to see.
Tamar says, how ugly was that?
That was ugly.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we done?
We're going to do reports only, public comments, future public, and then we're adjourning and going to dinner. Okay. Are we good?
Madam Secretary. Agenda item 4, non-action item. Any reports? Go, Terry, to the left.
The Carson City Aquatic Center adopted the large Ficus benjamina that I donated to the city.
Oh, good. Jens?
As announced at the last meeting, I was in South Lake Tahoe a month ago with their seminar they had for tree care at Lake Tahoe in drought times. Unfortunately, I found out this is something that is not suitable for us because Lake Tahoe, even in residential areas, they live in a natural forest, more or less. And their requirements and procedures and everything is completely different from what we have in an urban forest. So that didn't pan out the way I hoped to. But I came across, they were handing out these brochures from University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, and there's something about the combustibility of landscape mulches, and I would like to ask Roger, does the city have any recommendations or procedures regarding what types of mulch is being used depending on where it goes and in consideration of combustibility? Do we have something like that?
Jens, I don't know if they do have landscape standards that mm-hmm. that identify suitable mulches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're inorganic, organic mulching. You know, rocks or shredded bark, mm-hmm. or, you know, or other type of material. I don't know, and I couldn't tell you if it is based on flammability or combustional fire hazard. But I can look into that.
Yeah, can you get us information on that? Because I would like to put this on a future agenda, December or February, perhaps, when we don't have the pressure of preparing any seminars. And so maybe we can make some recommendation to the Board of Supervisors or to Public Works on what types of mulch to use in the city.
Okay.
And that concludes my report.
Roy? Gary?
Nothing at this moment.
I just wanted to report. I've got, Jens, here's a copy of the landscape standards. I think it might mention it in there. So I have an extra copy. Just for you.
Thank you.
I just want to note that it's a job that Roy used to have. Roy used to be our water police. Is that a good name for it?
Water cop.
Water cop. And there's a new water cop in town, and I've seen vehicles driving around keeping an eye on watering days and who's watering and making sure the residents are on track, odd even days. And it's funny when you hear them complain about it. You know, oh, I got a warning because I was watering on the wrong day, you know. Right? Yeah. So it's good to see a water cop back out there. The other thing is I checked our city website today, and I just want to thank the staff for updating. Our roster is updated. Everything is current. It looks nice. It's real easy to navigate and get find us, the Shade Tree Council. We're very important. I do want to remind everyone we have two vacancies, and some of our members will term out. So we want to encourage you to join our fair council. That's all I've got. Any public comments?
Regarding your last remark, I can, for our tree care seminar, maybe I can
send out and fly over some information to the participants. Maybe we can find some people from the industry, from the business, who would like to join us here.
Great idea. So. Thank you. Any public comment? Future agenda items, Jens will revisit. Let's talk about, so our next meeting won't be till December, so we don't need the fall tree care seminar on there. So could you put Arbor Day 2016?
Excuse me, that should have been there instead of the tree care seminar.
Okay.
That's a mistake, yep.
I'm
glad you caught that.
Tamar, can you put what Jens mentioned in his report as far as for the record, whatever he said about the mulch from earlier,
yes,
we could
got,
put that.
Got that on.
I don't know how you want to word that.
Yep, yeah, I've got it on.
Okay. And then I want to agenda our vacancies. I want to talk about that on every meeting, right? And that's it. Any public comments as we move to adjournment, looking for a motion?
I move that the current meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council adjourn.
A second?
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.